Numbers chapter 13. We're going to talk about fighting giants. I want to read extensively. So, notice the connection as these portions unfold. Numbers 13. And look at verse 2. Make it 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send thou men, that they may spy out the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a prince among them. So, this is this chapter where, as they are nearing the land, they are so close that now they can send spies into the land. And what is commendable is that God is the one who says, you send spies into the land. And of all these that were sent in, it says each one was a prince. So you would expect the very best of these men. So now, look at verse 6. Of these princes, it says, of the tribe of Judah, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. He is the one that we're thinking about mostly, who is to fight giants. But I wonder if any brother, knows how old Caleb is at this time. Well, you don't find out how old he is until 45 years later. But we'll see as we read along. Now, look at verse 30. Verse 30. The children of Israel have gone in. They've spied out the land. And this is what happens. Look at verse 27. And they told him and said, We came into the land whither you sent us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey. And this is the fruit of it. And they bring back this gigantic bunch of grapes. Howbeit, the people that dwell in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. Amalek dwelleth in the land of the south, and the Hittite and the Jebusite and the Amorite dwell in the hill country, and the Canaanite dwelleth by the sea, along the side of the Jordan. And the people become excited now. But notice, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land, which they had spied out unto the children of Israel, saying, The land through which we have gone to spy it out is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the Nephilim, the sons of Anak, who come of the Nephilim. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. So this is the report that 10 of the 12 princes that went into the promised land brought back. Now, look at verse 6. When they hear this, they've decided to make them a leader and go back to the land of Egypt. And so look at verse 6 in chapter 14. And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who were of them that spied out the land, rent their clothes, and they spake unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, The land which we pass through to spy it out is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land, and give it unto us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is removed from over them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones. And what happens is, God says, you will wander in the wilderness for 40 years. So now, let's turn to Joshua chapter 14. Joshua 14. And look at verse 6. They've come now. They've gone to Gilgal. They've crossed the Jordan. And here they are looking out upon the land that God gave them. And in verse 6 in chapter 14, then the children of Judah drew nigh unto Joshua in Gilgal. And Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord spake unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and concerning thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. That's how old he was when I read to you from Numbers 13. He was 40 years old. And I brought him word again as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy foot hath trodden shall be an inheritance to thee and to thy children forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he spake, these 45 years, from the time that the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while Israel walked in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. 85. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war, and to go out, and to come in. Now therefore, give me this hill country, wherefore the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakim were there, and cities great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall drive them out, as the Lord spake. And Joshua blessed him, and he gave him Hebron unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh for an inheritance. Therefore Hebron belongeth, became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord, the God of Israel. Now the name of Hebron before time was Kiriath Arba, which Arba was the greatest man among the Anakim, and the land had rest from war. Now in chapter 15, please notice that in chapter 14 it says, it may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall drive them out. And now in chapter 15, verse 13, and unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, he gave a portion among the children of Judah, according to the commandment of the Lord, to Joshua, even Kiriath Arba, which Arba, the father of Anak, the same is Hebron. And Caleb drove out thence the three sons of Anak, Sheshai, and Ahiman, and Talmai, the children of Anak. So let's speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we're so thankful that in this world of discouragement and failure and cowardice and sin, spread out through the book that you would have men to read is an account of some who were superior, who were overcomers. We thank you for men like Joshua and like Caleb. Let us know, Father, that we know much about Joshua and Abraham and David. And now that was begun to tell us a little bit about Caleb. We are thankful for his example. Let us know, our Father, just how we would have reacted had we gone into that promised land. Our God, how often have we read that story and criticized those 10 who brought an evil report about the promised land. And how we have admired Joshua and Caleb, who were brave and strong and gave a positive report about that land. But our God, let us know our hearts just how we would have reacted had we seen the difficulties and had we seen the giants in the land. So help us to learn from this portion tonight. We've learned from young men like David when he was a youth, and now let us learn from this old man, this one who was 85 years of age when he had this conversation with Joshua in the promised land. Bless us, we pray. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Caleb could say, I am this day 85 years old, and I'm ready to fight giants. And what I say is, I'm this day 73 years old, and I'm ready to retire. I've done enough fighting in life. It's time for me to retire. But this is what I've found, that there are some in the Bible that are able to work for God in their youth, and then nature takes its course, and when they get old, they have to retire. And there are others who, when they are young, they serve the Lord, and they live to an advanced age, and in their old age, they do more for God at that time than they did in their younger days. Let me tell you about two of them. Of all things, Moses' life was divided into two parts, the first 40 years in Egypt, and then 40 years when he fled from Egypt and kept sheep for his father-in-law. And so Moses is 80 years of age, and God calls him, and he says, now you go down into Egypt and free my people. Think, here is a man who, humanly speaking, is at an age when he is to retire, to meditate, when burdens are to be taken from his shoulders and placed on the shoulders of young men. But God takes 80 years to prepare Moses to do the work of 40 more years. And so some people learn quickly how to do the will of God, and for a brief period of time, they do the will of God, and then they die. Think of John the Baptist. Think of our Savior. John the Baptist is prepared for 30 years, and then God sends him forth, and he cries to the children of Israel to repent. They said, who are you? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. And he went and prepared the nation of Israel for the coming Messiah. God prepared him 30 years, and he probably lived 6 months to a year. But he did the work that God gave him to do, and then this wicked woman had his head cut off. Our Savior, 33 years. But he said, it is finished. And then he gave up the ghost and was buried, and the third day rose from the dead. And now he has ascended into heaven, and he's seated at the right hand of God. And so some of us are trained for 30 years and do the work of a few years. And some of us go through our lifetime, and we think that all that we could do for God has been done, and we're ready to live out our days in peace and in quietness. That's what Isaac thought. Isaac, who was the father of Jacob and Esau, when he was an old man, he just said, now I'm so old, he said, you had better go out and get some venison for me and bring it home and let me eat it, because I don't know when I'm going to die. And he lived 43 more years after that. But he never did anything, as far as we know, and all those years in his old age. However, Moses in his old age had strength, and he worked for God for 40 years. Moses was a miraculous example, because he could say this. He said, I am this day 120 years old. He said, my eye has not dimmed, my strength has not diminished. And so for all those years, the promise in Deuteronomy that Moses told us about has been fulfilled. He said this, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. And so here was Moses when he was 80, and God had 40 years of work for him to do, and God had promised, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. And Moses said, for all of these years, what I was earlier, I am now. And then suddenly he understands that this miraculous help of God is taken away. It's all right to take it away when you're going to die, but until you die, as your days, so shall your strength be. So it was for Moses. Understand that as it was for Moses, so it was for Caleb. Because ordinarily, when a man is 85 years of age, why, most men are dead by then. At that time, some would live to be 120 years old, and some today live almost to be 120. But in the case of Caleb, the remarkable thing is this, that as a young man, he took his stand for God, but he was not rewarded until 45 years later. Think of that now. I would like to be rewarded during the days when I am able to enjoy the things of youth. There are some things that old men enjoy, and there are some things that young men enjoy. And this is what is so difficult to understand about the will of God. It is this. Why, when Joshua and I are faithful to you, must we have to suffer the consequences of the weakness and sin and the failure of the people of God? So think of that. It should have been that Joshua and Caleb were permitted to immediately go into the promised land. But what happened was this, that when God passed judgment upon the nation of Israel for saying, we cannot overcome these giants that are in the land, Joshua and Caleb said, we can. They are bred for us. We can destroy them. God will support us. But they would not listen to them. And think of this. When they gave that encouraging report, it said the people were ready to stone them because they did not want to hear these words of encouragement. So keep this in mind when the task seems impossible, because the task is not impossible, because with God, all things are possible. But the sad thing is this, that because of your failure, you're making me suffer. Because of my failure, I'm making you suffer. And that's why when we men have been praying, and there are so few that come to the meeting, we say, Lord, what is there? Is there something in us? Do you remember Achan, the troubler? That is why God could not take the little city of Ai. God could have taken it, but the Israelites had Achan, the troubler, in their midst, and because of that one man, the whole nation of Israel had to suffer. And that's why we men have been praying, and you sisters continue to pray as well. Is there something in me that is withholding the blessing of God from us? Because I am aware of other meetings, and I hear what goes on. And I do not believe there are any holier in life than we are. And I do not believe there are any more faithful in preaching the Word of God faithfully than we are. But there is some reason, and I cannot tell you why. But whatever it is, some who have not done evil have to suffer because of those who have done evil. And so it was with Joshua and with Caleb. The Israelites as a nation sinned, and Joshua and Caleb had to endure the penalty of their sin for 40 years. I want to tell you about one more. I told you about two men who were miraculously enabled of God, Moses and Caleb. But there was another man named David. And David, as a young man, went out and with a slingshot and a stone, killed the giant as a young man. But you will read in Samuel that when he went out as an older man, say 40 years of age, he was fighting against Ishbi-Benob, a son of the giant. And he thought he was going to kill that giant the way he killed Goliath when he was in his teens. But he became faint and his strength failed and the giant was about to kill him until Abishai, his nephew, came to his assistance and killed that giant. And then this is what the nation of Israel said to David. You are not going out to fight with us anymore. What does that mean? It means that some, like Moses and Caleb, have sustained strength miraculously throughout their whole life. But there are others like David who can do things in their youth and can kill giants. And they can continue to fight 20, 30, 40. But then they find out that they're not able to do when they're 40 years of age what they could do when they were 17 years of age. And it almost cost them their life. And then, thank God for his soldiers who said to him, if you die, the light in Israel goes out. You are not going out to fight with us anymore. And so realistically, when people have asked me to do things that I used to do in my youth, I confess that I'm not able to do it anymore. And that is why, and how I did this, I do not know. For almost 30 or 40 years, every week, I had to prepare 3 different messages and preach in the United States and in Canada. I had to preach those messages for 30 or 40 years. And I'm wondering today, how did I ever do it? But now I prefer to think on one message or perhaps 2 messages a week and try to give you something from those messages. And so I'm not able to do what I was able to do years ago. And if I'm aware of it, you should say, no, you're preaching too much. Preach less. Don't take so much responsibility on you. But people would make you take more responsibility, but you're just not able to do it. There's a difference when you can sit down and discuss, and if you ask me questions, I could answer them. But to have to prepare all of this and look up all the references to Caleb and know about his life and to compare his life with Joshua and with David and with others, then it's a difficult thing. And if you think that preaching is not exhausting, I believe that it is more exhausting and it will crush you physically as well as mentally. Well, try it for 40 or more years and you will learn. And so, alas, you are not looking at Joshua and you are not looking at Caleb and you are not looking at Moses. You're looking at Milton, you see, John Mills. And so I recognize that. And perhaps you do too. But please notice that in your old age, you're still able to do some things that you were never able to do in your youth. I hope that there is a nearness that you have to God now, an intimacy with God, an understanding of God, and you can go into his presence and enjoy God more than you did before, and you can pray to God fervently more than you could in your youth. I hope that you've grown in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And even though physically you're not able to do the things you did in your youth, spiritually you're able. But some of us acknowledge, I cannot do this in my old age. There is a man that you would know, and he has served the Lord, to the best of my knowledge, faithfully for so many years. But the congregation put more and more and more on him until he was ready to have a nervous breakdown. And then finally, a preacher friend of his came and he looked over his situation and he said to the congregation, "You're not going to do this to this man anymore." And he took him to the hospital and gave him a complete rest for a month because the man was ready to have a nervous breakdown. So what we do is this, and I love to say, I want to fight giants in my old age. But unless God has given you the strength to fight giants in your old age, you'd better turn it over to an Abishai, your nephew, a younger man, and do what you can in your old age. Listen to this. This is what it says in the first epistle of John. "I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. I write unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the evil one. I write unto you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning." Notice, the little children know their sins are forgiven. The young men are strong and they've overcome the evil one. They have the word of God in them. But notice the fathers. You know him who is from the beginning. And that's something that young men do not know the way that older men do. I've seen this and I thank God for it. I've never seen the Lord allow younger men to outdo older men when it came to preaching. There remains something of immaturity, of youth about them, as good as it is. And I heard an old man say the same about me. I've been preaching for ever so many years, but when I was about 40 years of age, I must have preached a good sermon, and A.P. Gibbs' brother, Edwin Gibbs, someone came and told him about the good sermon that I preached. He said, "Yes," he said, "but he hasn't reached his peak yet." You see, that was it. And so some young men come and say, "Well, when am I going to be able to preach acceptably?" I said, "Maybe in 20 or 30 more years, because it takes that. There are young men that can do certain things, and there are old men that can do certain things." And that is why, and I never forget this, on an occasion, a young man that I've taught for many years phoned me long distance and said, "Uncle John," he said, "I'm getting up this message and I need some information." He said, "Now this is what I know," and he started telling me things about the subject that he was going to preach on, and I said, "Wait a minute." I said, "Where did you get those things?" He said, "Oh, those are some of the things that you told me." I said, "Well, I knew they weren't yours." He was a young man, and he could not have known those things until he became an old man. But I told him, and then I understood, and I laughed. So in like manner, there are some whom God can marvelously help when they're in their teens, like David. But then after that, David, for ever so many years, until he was 30 years of age, God trained him until he was 30 years of age, and then he said, "Now you can be king." And so David was king from 30 until he was 70, but let me tell you the difference. David is 70 years of age, and in his old age, he can't get him any heat, and he's freezing to death, and he's so feeble that he can't get out of bed. That's David, the giant killer, when he's 70 years of age. And here is Caleb tonight, and he's 85 years of age, and he's just ready to go in and fight and take the land, the promised land. So thank God for old men who have sustained strength and support. And I remember this. Up at Maggie Valley, we went to a special conference that the World Prayer League had, and there was one old man that kept coming out, and he didn't look like an old man. And he would come out, and people would look at him and marvel, and one of the preachers said, "Why, this brother has the earnest of the resurrection in him already," because he kept on and on. But then suddenly one year, he did not show up. He had died. And so some have strength to the end of their days, a special strength, And others like David, they get weak when they are, say, 40 years of age, and they get weaker and weaker until they are cold and they have no strength. And so it's time for them to pass off the scene and another to come on the scene. But thank God for Caleb and the spirit that was in his heart. Why? Because I think I would have been discouraged, and after wandering in the wilderness 40 years and then waiting 5 more years, I think I would have said to God, just give me my promised portion in the land and let me settle down and enjoy life for the rest of my days, how many or how few they may be. But instead, this is what he did. He said, Moses promised me that I could have such and such a thing when I came into the promised land. He said, now, Hebron is the place that I want. I know there are giants there, the sons of Anak, they are there, but I want to go and fight giants. And God has given me strength this day, as he did 45 years ago. I want to go and fight giants. And so Joshua said, go, it is yours. And he said this, God hath kept me alive unto this day. Think of that, that God has kept him alive 40 years in the wilderness and 5 years more so that he might come and be enabled to fight giants and take the promised land. And he says, I understand this. The reason that I'm alive today is because God has kept me alive. And God has given me strength, and I want to use this strength for the glory of God. Now think of this. There was one who was stronger than Caleb, and his name was Samson. And God gave Samson that strength to fight against the enemies of the children of Israel. But instead of fighting the children of Israel's enemies, he went out and he fought anybody that would interfere with him and his lust of the flesh. The only time that Samson ever used his strength to defend the children of Israel was when someone interfered with some lewd woman that he was with. And he would go out and fight them and destroy them. And then he would go about his business and he kept the strength to himself. But here is Caleb, and he says, I have strength. And what strength I have, I want to use for you. And I want to clear this land of the giants so that the promise that God has made to us shall be fulfilled in me and in my children. That God would give us men like that today. I was telling you about it this morning, about little children. How parents not only want God for themselves, but they want God for their children. And they brought their children to the Lord Jesus Christ. And here is Caleb, and he says, I want this promised land. You freed us as slaves from Egypt, and now you've given us this land. And I want to enjoy the land, and I want this land to be enjoyed by my children. And that is what I want. And that is why you and I are praying that God, in this land that he's given us, thank God for every physical blessing. But we want moral blessings as well. And so we pray for those that are in authority. I shall not tell God whom to put in as president or senators or congressmen, but I shall simply pray to God, Lord, please give us those that will not cause unborn children to be destroyed, that will not promote aberrations and homosexuality and lesbianism. Oh God, please give us some that have a degree of morality about them. And that is what we can do today. Caleb wanted the land for himself and for his children. And by God's grace, we want the land for ourselves and our children as well. Now time is gone. Let us pray. Now Father, let us know that as we read the pages of Scripture, we see so many sins and failures. But on occasion, we see some, such as Joshua and Caleb, and the lives of these two individuals mean ever so much for the whole nation of Israel. Let us know what we are here in Goldsboro. We're so few and we have so little strength. But our Father, your Son, has remembered each Lord's Day. And he said, this do in remembrance of me, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup. And we are thankful for 2 or 3 that are gathered together in his name. But our Father, if you be willing that more would see the preciousness of Jesus Christ and our great responsibility to Him. So help us not to be weary in well-doing, because you promise that in due time we shall reap if we faint not. So let us always pray and not faint, and help us and bring to us and us to them, Father, that want to love the Lord Jesus and serve Him in a special way. Bless us to this end, we ask of Thee, in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The meeting is over.